chapter 28. If you're looking at Acts chapter 28, I want to get off this shipwreck. Whoo! I may have to grab two or three of these slender boys and run around this building tonight. You fat boys can just cheer us on. I'll be half a building behind them boys, but I'll be chasing them. I've been running on a motto this year: fat people are harder to kidnap. It's what I'm doing for the war effort. And terrorists, you know, that's one of their biggest weapons is kidnapping. So I'm doing my part. Do what you can in these hours. I want to get off this shipwreck and shake this snake off tonight. You might as well go ahead and sit down, because I'd just be slopping all in this. I don't have a starting and ending place. I just jump in and then jump out by the time I say y'all can't handle no more. Let's go ahead and wreck this ship, and then we'll get on to this snake bite. Ain't life fun. Ain't serving God just a garden of roses. We're going to go through a shipwreck and then a snake bite. But when we get done, we'll see there isn't no harm. Oh, Lord, I may have to get that laugh in. Acts 27, big, coming on to verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, wonder who put that in his heart. Oh, I feel dangerous tonight. Wonder who put that in his heart. You'll be glad to know when the devil's recruited 100 people to try to kill you, God will have one in place that's willing to save you. I'm still intoxicated from this morning. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Glad I got a God who can intervene. Y'all might well holler, amen. I run back to Atlanta and get me a black choir and put them right here. I've been in a depression for about 3 or 4 months. I was down in South Georgia in a little farmland, Dawson. And outside of Dawson, 8 miles out, Dawson's already outside of everything. Then you get to Dawson and go outside. And three little country churches came together in the back of them woods, and then a black church came over from downtown Dawson. Where the women ain't preachers, but they're all subject to. Liable to. Lord have mercy. They didn't say amen or praise God or hallelujah. When they liked something, Brother Ken, they said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I like to blow up my liver and my gizzard preaching to that bunch. And I walked out there into a deep depression knowing I was going back to nothing but white folk. It was awful. If you got any Prozac, I'll take some with me tonight. Kept them from their purpose. And commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. And the rest, I'm seeing this butts blowed to bits. Being washed in on the waves, hanging on the boards, and broken pieces. And I'm seeing us arrive on the home shore. What I'm seeing right now. is why I'm having happy bubbles I can't hardly contain. We're going to make it in. Now, we may come washed up on broken bits and pieces, but we're going to make it in. I don't care if you run in or wash in. If you look like an Olympic champion or a drowned rat, he's going to get all he's got to see. And he's going to scoop you up and carry you over the threshold. And so it came to pass. Why, sure it did. He's in charge. But no luck in this thing. It came to pass. They escaped all safe to land. Well, getting off the shipwreck, now we're heading for a snake bite. Oh no, the journey don't get easier on the way home. It gets harder on the way home. We are at the end of Acts. Did anybody notice that? We're in the last chapter of Paul's ministry, and the old boy's still shipwrecking and snake biting. Can I tell you that problems get bigger the further you go with God? And you ought to thank God for that, because you couldn't handle them big ones early on. People were awful kind to them. Don't ever get disillusioned, honey, about the fact that you'll get hurt in the church life a lot worse than you ever got hurt out there in the bar life. The devil wasn't trying to kill you back then. He had you dead. This world don't get hostile and unfriendly until you unjoin. Get over in God's kingdom. Can I get a witness? Showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. You might be out of a shipwreck and heading for a snake bite, but God somehow does take care of the little things along the way. The present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw, there it is again, no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I probably won't have time to get to that, so I'll go ahead and talk about it. One verse, he's a murderer. The next verse, he's a god. You might want to just go ahead and untangle yourself from public opinion. They'll be wanting to hang you yesterday and wanting to halo you tomorrow. In one verse, he's a murderer. It don't take but another verse and he's a god. So, Bob Gray said, don't let criticism discourage you and don't let compliments flatter you. He said, none of them know what they're talking about. People say, you ain't no good and sorry. You ain't a good for nothing thing. He said, they don't know what they're talking about. You're a child of God. You're claimed by God. None of their business how sorry you are. He said, then the crowd will hug you, embrace you, love on you. Tell you how wonderful you are. Said, they're lying. You're just an old dirt pile from the grace of God. He said, you better not pay attention to what anybody's saying. You plug into what Jesus has said to you in the last couple of days and just run on that. I need to get a witness. Said that he was a god. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. I want to preach for a little while tonight on this thought. I've been studying the book of Acts the last 3 or 4 months. The Holy Ghost has been helping me. I want to preach a little while on this business. Out of verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire. I want to preach on this thought. Just shake it off. Can I get a witness in here? Just shake it off. We having a problem with this one? Ain't enough gone in here. Alright, that'll work right there. Just, that feels better already. I may not need my black choir after all. I'll be looking like one of them televangelists now. Just, if I'd have wore a purple shirt, I'd have been just fine now. Just shake it off. 3 times in the book of Acts, you'll find the word shook. This is King James Bible. Did you ever notice you can't study them funny Bibles? You can't. They done rearranged, muddy the damn, mess it up, change the word, change the sentence. You can't study them funny Bibles. Do you know you can't quote them funny Bibles? Can nobody quote them? Ain't that funny? That King's English supposed to be so structured and sophisticated and complicated, but can't nobody quote them funny Bibles, but little children that can't spell and old people that can't remember can quote that Bible right there. That's an eternal book. Can I get a witness in here? That book wasn't written for your head. It was written for your heart. Don't worry about can comprehend it in your head. It was written not for your head. It was written for your heart. 3 times in the book of Acts, you find the word shook.
in, we're not going to turn there, but in Acts 13:51, they shook the dust off their feet and got out of that city. That kind of goes against the grain of this out there that thinks you're supposed to plead and beg with everybody until after 60 years they finally cave into God. According to the Bible, you get one shot to receive the light that God gives you or reject the light God gives you, and then we're going to walk on. They shook off the... And G. Campbell Morgan said, nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once. He shook off the dust. In chapter 18, verse 6, the Apostle Paul got weary once again with those Jews. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your head. Going back to the Gentiles, which is where God called him anyway. Chapter 13, they were shaking the dust off. In chapter 18, Paul was shaking the damned off. Your blood be upon your head. And in chapter 28, Paul was shaking the devil off. Had a venomous viper. Hanging on his hand. Wasn't a snake bite. Wasn't a peck and then bat. Everybody stood around and watched it. Woo! Look in verse 4. When the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. You young preachers better stay in the King James Bible. I'm sure it don't read like that nowhere else. Hang on his hand. There's going to be a time and a place in your experience with God and in this life. Will not be a venomous viper attached to you, pumping venom. And everybody gathered around, saying, he deserves it. God's going to kill him now. Just came off a shipwreck, and now he's headed into a snake bite. No doubt, this man's a murderer. You know, it dawned on me. He was a murderer. If you ask anybody anywhere, he was a murderer. Can I come tell you that the reality in eternity is different than the reality on earth? Everybody on earth knew he was a murderer. But if you'd asked God in heaven what he was, he'd have said he's a preacher. He's a child of mine. He's a forgiven saint. What he was on earth ain't what he was on in eternity. Just shake it off. We're going to preach three verses. Verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. I'm going to go ahead and give you all 3 points, maybe. In verse 3, we find the serpent in the fire. In verse 4, we find the serpent in the flesh. But in verse 5, we find the serpent in its finish. Now, that's the three thoughts. Let's just kind of jump in this thing and just slop around. How's that for sub-points? Number one, you'll find the serpent in the fire. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Three quick thoughts. Paul was attacked because of the anointing on his life. He was the Apostle Paul. That stinking reptile didn't go on nobody else but the anointed one. The devil was trying to kill him. The devil does have power. I wish some of y'all quit talking big and act like you're going to smack him around the next time he's on your block Honey, he's got power. In the book of Job, he brought fire out of heaven. He brought a wind out of the sky. He's a bad dude. Now, the Pentecostals see a demon in everything. They'd stuck their toe and want to stop and cast the devil out of the couch where they bumped their toe. They're casting devils out of everything. But Baptists, on the other hand, they don't see the devil in anything. They blame everybody around them for what's going on. We have an adversary and he'd like to kill us. The reason he ain't killed you yet is he can't find you. God can hide you. God hid Moses when he was a little baby. And everybody around him got killed but Moses. God hid Jesus when he was a little baby. And everybody around him got killed but Jesus. God can hide you. He told Elijah, go show thyself. But the same God said, go show thyself, said, go hide thyself. He was attacked because of anointing. He was attacked because of activity. Paul was not a lazy man. Paul was not a sorry man. Paul was going to get in the middle of whatever was going on. And even though he just come off a shipwreck, he said, I'll help you build this fire. He liked to build fires. He's going to have a revival or a riot, either way or the other. And he got in the middle of the activity. Can I tell half of you the reason that you ain't been attacked by the devil? You ain't got involved in any fires that we've been building. Can I get? I got me a handheld. I can come back to where you are now. You better holler hallelujah. I'll come find you. Because of activity. The devil don't mind a bunch of lukewarm, worldly-minded, cold-hearted, self-satisfied, self-absorbed, self-centered, my fear no more, my fear and thank you, Lord. Bunch of dead Baptists didn't give a hoot if the whole town goes to hell. The devil don't mind a bunch of inactive, lukewarm, led-to-seeing, last-day Baptists. But honey, you let a church start pumping out the works and pumping in the worship and pumping around the word. Honey, the devil going to come after you. He was attacked because of activity. And some of you, don't you get surprised the minute you start getting involved in the internal affairs of this spirit-filled church, honey. Don't be surprised when all hell starts coming against you. He was attacked because of anointing. He was attacked because of activity. And he was attacked because of agitation. Came a vapor, underline them next three words, out of the heat. It was a cold time of the year. I've searched this and researched this. It was a cold, and verse 2 says it was. The present rain and the cold, and all them vipers were hibernating. Ooh-wee, I feel some preaching coming on. Them snakes were asleep because it was so cold. I've heard some preachers and Baptists say, well, there ain't nothing happening, there ain't nothing going wrong at our church, because there ain't nothing going right at your church. Well, we don't ever have any fusses or fights or splits or splinter or pop. Yeah, and you ain't never got no praying or preaching or praising or pleading either. There's a lot of churches slammed full of serpents, but it's so cold in there they're all hibernating. Somebody said, that church on fire is always in the middle of trouble. What's wrong with them? Ain't nothing wrong with them, honey. They're so on fire that snakes can't stay comfortable around the church that's on fire. He was attacked because of agitation. Do you think the devil enjoyed that service this morning? Do you think he let, honey, 200 or 300 people gathering around the throne room getting filled with the Spirit of God? You think he was glad an evangelist got the encouragement that he needed? You think he was glad a pastor got the help he needed? You think he was glad 300 sheep got the help they needed? I'm going to go get my black choir if y'all don't help me now. Honey, I got news for you. He was attacked because of agitation. He was attacked because of anointing. He was attacked because of activity. I got news for you. The devil goes to church where God goes to church. That's where the devil attends. That's where the devil attends. That's the serpent in the fire. Go to the second verse, which means we're in the middle of the message. Ain't you encouraged? Verse 5. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. Four thoughts here, and here they come. I'm going to lay them on the table, so I'll preach them quick. We're looking at a painful arrangement. There is a broken ship, a barbarous island, and a biting serpent. And all of that on the greatest man of God that was alive in that day. Just because you're honorable in the sight of God don't mean you'll be honored in this old world. If they took the lovely Son of God and nails through His hands and through His feet, and if He left this world with more wounds and stripes on His back and a crown of thorns in His head, if He left the world wailing and weeping and bleeding and broken, what makes you think we won't get out of it unscathed? They hated me, and they'll hate you. In the world you shall have tribulation. A painful arrangement. Job said, man that's born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. Sinner men and saintly men. Honey, it's a hard life. A painful arrangement. And then, brother, preacher, I see a painful attachment. Hang on his hand. This is what I came to say to you tonight. What you going to do with them venomous vipers that are attached? And you standing there, and everybody around you is watching that venomous viper pump venom in you, and all you can do is stand there. I'll go ahead and throw in the next thought as I preach this. In the middle of this painful attachment, to add insult to injury, was a painful accusation. Those assumptions you were talking about, they said, no doubt. This, no doubt. Well, people can be sure about things, can't they? No doubt. No doubt. Oh, yeah. When you die, wisdom will surely die with you. What did the world do before you got here? No doubt. Oh, thank you for your great insight. Turned our life around, all your little comments. Yeah, we'll check with you next time we got a question. No doubt! They had to answer it. A painful accusation. Kind of like Job's three friends. In the middle of the worst day of his life, they'd done good while they sat there and hushed 7 days, but then they started putting them assumptions on the table. Brother Tom Gillen, don't you love it when he goes off on them Baptists? He taught me this little nugget. Two times you ought to get out of a room when you hear a Baptist say one of these two things. I'll tell you what I think. Brother Tom said the only thing worse than what a Baptist thinks is what he feels. Well, I'll tell you how I feel. Brother Tom and his intellectual and exegetical abilities says what he's fixing to you when he's going to tell you how he feels, what he's fixing to do to you is wretch all over you out of his Adamic nature. Some of you have given up alcohol and cigarettes, but I need some more of you Baptists to give up your opinions and your gossip. Hello! It ain't near as hard cleaning y'all up on the outside as it is on the inside. They can lay down the alcohol, the cocaine, quit the lying and cheating and stealing and whoremongering around. But if I could get Baptists to bring their opinions, their wisdom, their advice, their thoughts, and their counsel, and right on the altar. Now I got some force shouters. They're just shouting out of courtesy, not like, what did that man just say to me? Greatest day in my young life. I'm glad the Holy Ghost got a hold of me early enough to teach me some lessons. It was the day that I gave up my own thoughts and opinions. Figured it out in the throne room. figured out that my thoughts and opinions never did help God. One day I said, why don't you ever listen to me? He said, because you ain't got nothing but a fountain of foolishness, son. You and all the other sons of Adam. Don't even know what. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Be not wise in your own conceits. Trust, how about this one? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Best thing you can do is act like a blind, crippled baby and just lay down every day of your life and holler help for a holy, high, helpful, sovereign God to walk me through this day. Lord, I can't even walk without holding your hand. Don't be coming at me for my thoughts and opinions. I ain't got none. I gave them up. I'm just trying to say I'm preaching. I'm telling y'all, I gave them up. I gave them to God. Where He leads me, I will follow. And what He feeds me, I will swallow. And that's just be the way that we live because He knows best. Painful attachment. Followed up with a painful accusation. Let me say something about that accusation. No doubt this man is a murderer. Their words were right, but their wisdom was wrong. This man was a murderer. It tormented him all the time. How he used to breathing out threatenings and slaughterings, killing and crucifying those Christians and preachers. It haunted him. It bothered him all the time. He wrestled with that. He had to get victory from time to time. How do you think Paul felt when he'd come into a little gathering to preach a revival? And the whole last two pews, an old woman would start crying and just slip out the back. The last two pews would just sit there looking down. And after it, Paul would say to the pastor, what's wrong with them people back there? The pastor would say, Paul, don't take this personal, but they have a hard time listening to you. You killed their daddy. Back when you was lost. You think the man that talks about Philippians chapter 3, brethren, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, you think that came easy? And in the midst of your worst day, coming off a shipwreck and a venomous viper hanging on you. People have a way of gathering around and bringing up the worst part of your past and throwing it in your face. But can I tell you that when everybody else was looking at a murderer, God was looking at one of His children. Painful attachments. Sometimes, somehow, we can get people attached to us. And this, what it may be a daddy, it may have been a stepdaddy. It may be a neighbor, it may be a boss. It could be a wife. David was attached to Michael, wasn't he? Well, the greatest day of his life when he came in after national revival, restored the ark to its rightful place, danced in the street with the nation and the glory of God. Michael was looking at the window, looking out from the window in her house. And met him in the door. Come out of a day full of heaven into a house full of hell. What in the king glorious? What should have been the greatest day and the sweetest night of sleep in his life was ended with hell. David had dysfunction in his family from day one. Sometimes painful people are attached to you and they just pump venom. My generation is eat up with dysfunction. Demon possession and dysfunction on a level where we've hardly ever seen it. You look at David's dysfunction in his family. From the day he was born, his father rejected him. Here comes Samuel the prophet. Jesse! Bring your sons. God's looking for a king. And he put everybody in the lineup except the runt who was babysitting the sheep. And Samuel said, I ain't found what I'm looking for in these fine looking boys. You got anybody else? And they brought David out. Wonder, did he ever get over the fact that his daddy didn't put him in the lineup to be the king? And you may have come in this world and people didn't line you up for anything but failure. But last week in the meeting where I was, the preacher's daughter sang every night, and she sang a song I always request. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And then, it went on with David, his big brother Eliab. You're naughty, you're proud, get back to the house, brat. Embarrassed him in front of all his brothers, in front of all the soldiers, and in front of the king. Daddy, big brother, and his father-in-law. Father-in-law started chucking javelins at him, trying to kill him. Saul, who gave him his wife, Michal, who scoffed and sneered and was a snare at every turn. It didn't stop there. His children. I couldn't imagine Preston trying to kill me, trying to ruin me one day. But Absalom was David's, that was his pet, that was his baby. And the day Absalom came up there and took that throne, David could have killed him, but humbled himself and went off the backside of that hill into a deep, dark valley. But David knew something about valleys. One son raped a daughter. The other son killed that son. I'm trying to tell you, from birth to death, it was dysfunction in his family. But David never put his heart down. I got good news for my generation. David never put his promises down. David never quit worshiping. He never quit God. Sometimes painful people are attached to you. Sometimes your past is attached. We've talked about that already. Sometimes problems are attached to you. Perplexing problems, painful problems. Whether it be a health problem or a personal problem. Sometimes, here was Paul. I'm talking about a painful attachment. What are you going to do when you're standing there and a venomous viper is attached to you? I meditated on this and prayed on this for months. Two things that I found in my Bible. If you keep an outline, here's a prescribed answer to the painful arrangement, the painful attachment, the painful accusation. Here's a prescribed answer. You can always go to your Bible for answers. Oh, I'm about to run around your building. I said, you can always go to your Bible for answers. Holy Ghost did something for me this morning when we embraced our Bibles. Now, he did something for me. I'm going to just confess. It's confession time. He did something for my cold, weary, sick heart that I'd been hurting for 2-3 years. I preach every night, sometimes day and night. And the warfare in the last 6 months has gotten so hot and so heated out of hell that I was spending all my time in the most sacred of experiences with the bride, in the book, around the bloody altar. And yet we can get so wounded in the war that we can tread on sacred things. Our heart be so hurt that it gets hardened. If you don't deal with those wounds, they begin to heal over themselves. They don't heal right, but they harden up. And you'll be crippled. You'll be infected. I held my Bible and kissed it and hugged it. And 24 years of memory started running through my soul. When he rung that bell, I nearly run your bills. got rid of that Sunday morning crowd. I was about ready to jump through them stained glass windows, and y'all just had to send me a bill. You can get your answers from God. He hath esteemed His word above His name. Now, when you get that thing figured out, call me. He hath esteemed His word above His name. When you analyze that little truth, you call me back and just explain it. I found some people in the Old Testament that had been bitten with serpents. And there wasn't but one thing for them to do. Take a brass and serpent and put it on the pole, and you're just going to have to look to live. The only thing I can tell you today is how to live with a snake bite is come to the cross and attach your gaze to the Christ of Calvary. Look and live. Only one way that life can pour in you while venom's pouring in you, and that's for you to set your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, you can't look at mama. You can't look at daddy. You can't look at Baptist. You can't look at this world. You can't look at the devil that's biting you. You got to set your eyes on Calvary. And there's some mysterious transfer for people who park at the cross and say, the only hope and help I got with this snake bite is to look at the one that received the snake bite of all snake bites and let what poured out of him pour into me. It's called antivenom. Brother Bowman, I went to the internet and looked up several medical websites on how to deal with snake bites. Let me find it. Oh, way. I shouted all over the living room. And the Old Testament said, look and live. In the New Testament, James 4 and James 5, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul did not sit there and allow that thing to continue. He shook it. No. You're not going to kill me. No. I'm not going to lay down and go into a pity party and feel bad that everybody's talking about me and the devil's talking. No. I built this fire. I'm the man of God. You may be attached to me, but you ain't coming along easy. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did y'all hear about the old mule? They got tired of him. The old farmer told the boy, that old mule, I'm sick of him, I'm tired of him, I'm aggravated with him. I ain't going to waste a bullet on him. Take him out back, dig a hole, and push him in. We'll just bury him alive. He's dead anyway. He's about dead anyway. Farmer's boy went back there and dug a hole. Big old pit, kicked the old mule in it. The old mule landed on all four of us in there. They started chucking the dirt in. That dirt landed on the old mule. You shake it off. Stomp it down. Oh, y'all don't get ahead of me now. They like preaching too much. And more dirt was being thrown in on top of his grave. He just shook it off. Stomped it down. They kept throwing it in. He kept shaking it off. He kept stomping it down. And he got to realize after a while, just by shaking it off and stomping it down, he was gradually coming higher and higher. And his grave was turning into a ladder out of that pit. Well, he got high enough. He poked his eyeballs above and saw God's grave. green grass and God blue sky and hopped out of there and ran off. If I could get some of y'all instead of laying down and dying. Instead of laying down and dying. Don't give up. Don't give up. Little red-headed preacher boy. One of the dearest friends I've had. Been pastoring several years now. Before he pastored, he was a little preacher boy on fire for God. He'd take his Chevrolet pickup, put loudspeakers in it, go to downtown Dalton, Georgia, where over 1,000 kids were allowed to cruise the downtown circle. He'd park that burger, got permission from the city council, and open up them loudspeakers, stand in the back of that pickup truck, and preach like a wild man, hacking, slobbering, preaching. Had 100 saved. Many a Friday night cruise was turned into a Holy Ghost revival meeting. And the ones that didn't get saved respected him. He married a preacher's daughter out of Lake City, Florida. Met her on the front pew of my church at a camp meeting. They were married almost 1 year. 3 days before their wedding anniversary. They went everywhere. He preached. She sang and played the piano. He was red-headed, she was black-headed. It was the prettiest little old slobbery sight you ever saw. They were madly in love, and God opened doors. And that little couple just went everywhere, preaching and singing. 3 days before their one-year anniversary, he'd preached Sunday morning twice, preached in the jail Sunday afternoon, was going to the Sunday night church service, came over a hill, some drunks were parked in the middle of the road, hit them head-on, her head went to the windshield. He went through the steering wheel and the windshield. It was smashed. Everything was smashed. Ambulance came. The helicopter came. They life-flighted her to Chattanooga. They ambulanced him to Dalton. His pelvic was shattered. His legs were shattered. His head was big as a basketball. He was in just the way it turned out. They sped him to Dalton and flew her to had to fly her to Chattanooga where they had the best hospital. She died when she hit that windshield, but they plugged her up and tried to help her. John laid on that bed for 3 days before they unplugged her. And she's in Chattanooga. He's in Dalton. When you go to, and I just went there and camped out. And people would come in, and his mama and pastor, and there's always 100 people there. They'd say, John don't know, but Amy won't live or is not living. He's going to ask you. He's not in his right mind. He's going to ask you, but please don't say anything about it. We've not told him yet. His head was swollen. He was half crazy. He'd come in. Everybody come in. Hey, that leg was propped up. He's in cast. He said, have you heard from my wife? Have you heard from my sweetheart? How's Amy? Where is she? And people would just nod and rub his arm and try to talk to him. I was there when his pastor and his mother and father, the brother, I stepped out of the room with everybody else, and I stood right outside the door when they told him that she's gone. Hebrews 5 talks about strong crying and tears. I heard some that night. I heard a lot of Baptists whine over nothing. But, honey, you may go into a valley where you'll weep, and it'll be over something. The boy wailed and groaned in words that in ways that I can't express to you. After that, his big brother Ken told me he wanted to die. He tried to die. He laid in there and asked God just to kill him and take him on to heaven so he could be with her. It was the awfulest thing he ever saw. The doctor said he's dying. He don't have to die. But if somebody don't give him a will to live, he's going to die. Ken said he was laid in there and they had to go into a major surgery. And they worked on him, and he wasn't coming out. They said he's struggling because he's dying because he's not struggling to live. His big brother Ken went in there and leaned over. Said, John, Amy's funeral is tomorrow. He said, you have to holler. He can't hear you. He said, if you don't live, you won't get to go to her funeral. And John got a hold of that and found him a little reason to live. He wanted to go to her funeral. He started gasping, trying to breathe. He grabbed his brother's hand, mumbled, and it took him a while and said, I'm going to go to that funeral. I'm going to go to that funeral. I'm going to go to that funeral. And he pulled out of that thing because they gave him a reason. He started struggling to live. The devil would love to get you down. Do you just want to lay down and die? But he stayed the course for you. I want you to stay the course for him. Don't quit. Don't give up. You got a reason to live. God will take you on when your time's done. You got a reason to live. John told me later, 6 months later, he said, that night, Dean, laying in that hospital bed, he said, I don't care if you believe it or nobody believes it. He said, 2 o'clock in the morning, groaning with groans that cannot be uttered, he said, Jesus opened my hospital door. He said, he walked in my room. He said, Jesus pulled my covers back. He crawled up in bed with me. Pulled the covers back up and said he held me all night long. He said, I don't believe that. You kind of smell like an unbeliever. I'm not surprised. You go a while on this journey with Jesus, you'll be amazed what he'll do in your hour of emergency. Brother Ken, let me tell you what they told to do with a snake bite and I'll be done. This is straight out of the medical book. Researched about 6 doctors, and here's what I got. They said, keep the wounded, keep the bitten part of the body level with the rest of the body. Don't remove it or get it off level. Don't let it hang low. Don't set it up high. Keep it level with the body. Can I tell you what you need to do when there's a snake attached to you? Don't get separated from the body of Christ. Stay in church. Stay on the altar. Keep level with the body. Don't let somebody set you up on a shelf away from the body. Don't let yourself fall out of church and get down somewhere in some bar, in some whorehouse, in some crack house. Stay in the church house. Keep the wounded part level with the body. They said raising it higher than the body can cause the venom to travel into the rest of the body. Leaving it below body level can increase swelling to the poison part. Don't let the devil put you up on a shelf where the poison in you may start flowing into the rest of the body. And don't let yourself get down somewhere you get swelled up and get infected. Stay in church. Go to the nearest hospital as soon as possible. You got to get help, technical help. Run to the cell room as quick as you can. Honey, when these moments hit and the ship's wrecked and the snake's attached, you're going to have help on a level that you cannot supply. Identify the snake. What they saying? Y'all doing all right? Identify the snake so the surgeons working on you will know exactly what you need. Some of you ain't getting no help because you ain't confessing your sin to God and you ain't confessing your faults to the brother. We got to identify this snake or we can't help you. I like this one. I like this one. Pastor Ken. Is that what them contemporary churches say? Pastor Kenny. Pastor Dino. Pastor Kenny. I like this one. Kill the snake. Kill it! We ain't got no little sissy, wimpy liver, lily-livered, flaky-fingered Jesus with long hair floating around, looking like a little woman, maybe half of a hippie. He's a just God. He's a holy God. He's an angry God. And my God is a man of war. He killed a whole lot of people in that Bible. He's going to kill a whole lot of people in the tribulation. Kill the snake. Paul said, for this cause many are weak and sickly, and some of them are dead. 1 John 5, there is a sin unto death. John 15, the branch don't abide in that body. God will cast him forth and take him out of there. Kill the snake. That's why you ought to appreciate old-fashioned Holy Ghost, rare back, backbone, Bible straight, Bible thumping, pew jumping, single ripping, devil killing, Satan stopping, old-fashioned preaching on sin and the world. You get you some little limp-wristed seminary straight, some little sissy right out of seminary, mama called him, papa sent, wouldn't say mush if it had a mouthful. Oh, he'd win the popularity contest, but there'd also be a dozen wolves parked down there in the church, and there'd be a snake under every pew. You got to keep a real man of God around. Kill the snake. Identify it and kill it. We got to start marking them, and we got to start putting them out of their misery. 1 Corinthians 5, there is such a thing as church discipline. Turning them over to Satan. I'm going to tell you something. It don't happen often, but when God gets a man to the point where he's not responded to correction, not responded to discipline, God will turn a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh and take him to an early grave. You don't mess around with God. Kill the snake. They said, wash the bite immediately with soap and water. I'll tell you, gather yourself around with people with the Bible and people with the breath of God and start praying and soaking in the scriptures and in the embraces. Or get on that altar and let 25 of them pile up around you until you get better. Keep the snake bite lower than the heart level. Don't let the poison get to your heart. Keep it level with the body. Don't get it up here and let the poison flow to your heart. Don't let the poison flow to your heart. Don't let that person kill you afterwards that couldn't kill you with the initial bite. They said, now, no tourniquets. You always heard that. Cut it, slice it, suck the poison out, and wrap it. They said, no tourniquets. They said, you're better off not cutting off the blood supply. Let the blood flow to the poison. It'll fight it. Can I say, let the blood of Jesus flow? Don't cut off the blood supply. Get in your Bible. Get in your altar. Get in your pastor's office. Get in the middle of the church and holler for help. And don't cut off the blood supply. No cutting. They said, they're cutting and sucking. They said, don't cause any more wounds than what's already there. Boy, we're good in a Baptist church when somebody's bit. Just come on and just cut it 7 times. Why don't you be a part of a healing ministry instead of a cutting ministry in the Baptist church? They said, an anti-venom must be administered. That's where they've taken the poison and from it derive a medicine for that poison. What do you think Calvary is? He became sin for us. If you'll look and live at that brazen serpent. Our sin was drawn out of us and put into Him and mixed with Him. And when He came out of the 3 hours of darkness, He handed us a potion. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. It ain't just good preaching and shouting. It works on Monday like it works on Sunday. Overcame Him by the blood. And it's finished. Here's how the story finished. He shook it off and felt no harm. They looked around, and when they saw there was no harm, they said, He's a God. The end of the story for Satan, he's finished. If you read that verse, it says, cast the beast into the fire. Are you with me? Do I got any Bible readers? Has anybody ever been over to Revelation? Does that ring a bell? The beast into the fire. The beast into the fire. But where do you think the devil's going to end up when this thing is all said and done? And the dragon and the devil and the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. The end of the story for Satan is back in the fire. The end of the story for saints, no harm. We're heading for a day when He'll wipe away every tear. He'll wipe away every tear. And there'll be no more pain. There'll be no memory of that pain. And I want to show you one other thing. Did you read the verse? It's 7, 8, or 9 in there. Where He took them same hands and started healing a man. God will use you again. God will flow through you again. God will heal your hands, and before He's done, within the week, you'll be healing other people. Laying those scars, and they'll be scarred. There'll be snake bites in that hand, but the power of God will be flowing through that hand. And you'll be honored, and you'll be promoted. And God can heal you and use you again to heal others. Well, once again, I'll be the longest sermon on the internet. They give me a hard time across the country. I say, you can't preach in that Holy Ghost church less than an hour unless you backslid. That's what's wrong with Brother Boltner and Brother Arthur and Brother Williams, Brother Gillum. They cold, lukewarm, leaded. They can't preach an hour that fit like this. Sorry, outfit. I want you to stand. I want you to bow your head. I want our pianist to come. If you're in the middle of Satan hanging on you, and probably half everybody here needs to get on this altar. If this message has touched you in one area or another, I want you to come tonight. I want you to bring that poison to the Lord. I want you to bring that serpent to the Lord. I want you to bring that snake bite to the Lord. You may be in the middle of it. I want you to bring it to the Lord. Oh, just shake it off.